welcome, folks, to this edition, this segment of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Doug Hagman flying solo. Very special guest this segment, Mr. Dave Hodges. Dave Hodges heads up the CommonSenseShow.com. That's the CommonSenseShow.com. And, folks, he has a show right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Folks, go to the CommonSenseShow.com, and there you can access his archives, access his radio show live, Global Star, as well as on Sunday nights too. So I'm very proud to have him, to call him a colleague, a professional colleague, and a friend as well. And he wrote in a very, very interesting article. In fact, we had communicated this weekend about the very article, the very report that he filed. And if you go to thecommonsenseshow.com, it's headlined, "Anyone disagreeing with the government will go to prison, including the media for covering it." Folks, think about that for a second. Now, that's yours truly, and his truly, that being Dave Hodges, as well as others. Mr. Hodges, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Doug. I'm glad to be here. This is pretty grim stuff, my friend, and it's should be disturbing to every American. And let me start out by saying that I first identified these precepts back in October of 2015. Last year, and no one wanted to pay attention. And then with the filing of charges against Ammon Bundy and Cliven Bundy and colleagues, and I looked at what they were charging them with, they took the statutes right out of the Patriot Act, in particular Article 18, paragraph 233.9b, and they're playing fast and loose with the wording, and they're effectively saying that if you're anti-government, you indeed are a terrorist. In fact, let me read to you what I wrote very briefly back in October. I'm quoting John Carlin, the Assistant Attorney General in charge of anti-domestic terrorism. Quote, "Homegrown violent extremists can be motivated by any viewpoint on the full spectrum of hate. Anti-government views." And then they link it in with racism, bigotry, anarchy, and other despicable beliefs. So right there, the Assistant Attorney General, the number two person to Loretta Lynch mob, the Attorney General, as Steve Quayle likes to call her, John Carlin says, if you have anti-government views, you are a homegrown violent extremist. And then later on, they go on to define this even further, where Reuters took more excerpts from the CNN interview of John Carlin. And Reuters, while describing Carlin's position, likens domestic right-wing extremism with anti-government views. And if you are there, then you are guilty, and I quote, of providing material support for domestic terrorism. There's no question what they are saying. And then an ACLU report came out and summarized the government's actions on these points. And they said, quote, "The federal government's material support and conspiracy statutes allow the government to obtain convictions without having to show that any specific act has taken place or is being planned, or even that a defendant intended to engage in terrorism." This is precisely what Ammon Bundy and his colleagues are being charged with. And so now in America, you are guilty of pre-crime because the government thinks you might do something. Doug, this is outrageous.
You know, and if I can just add one thing, Dave, this did not happen overnight, but it changed relatively quickly. I just want to draw people's attention to the March 2013 watch listing guidance. It was a 166-page document that was issued in 2013, back in March, by the National Counterterrorism Center. And it spelled out the government's secret rules for putting individuals on its main terrorist database, as well as the no-fly list and the selectee list that triggers the advanced screenings at airports and border crossings. Now, a lot of print space and airtime was given to MIAC, but I didn't see much talked about except with you in your reporting of this March 2013 watch listing guidance document by the NCC, National Counterterrorism Center. And now we have this. Now we've got this redefining and honing the definitions. This is ridiculous, and it puts us in jeopardy, and that's what people need to understand.
Well, let me give you a for instance. Doug Hagman hypothetically has been declared to be a terrorist, and I allow Doug Hagman to come on the Common Sense Show. And Doug Hagman is protesting the theft by the federal government of his property. And he is soliciting funds on my show to hire an attorney to fight against the government. Technically, Doug Hagman is guilty of violation of Section 18 of the Patriot Act, and Dave Hodges is guilty of providing material support for the domestic terrorist, Doug Hagman. That's it in a nutshell.
Right.
This is complete evisceration of the First Amendment.
So, exactly. Now, so then what happens? And I've got people emailing me and saying, well, what can they do to you? What can they do to Dave Hodges? What can they do to Doug Hagman? What happens?
How about Ammon Bundy being faced with 96 years in prison?
There you go.
Yeah. Let me hear. I'm scrolling here. Let me give you another quote from John Carlin, Assistant Attorney General. Domestic terrorism overshadows Muslim extremism.
Yeah.
And I recall back when I wrote the article, I put a little caption at the top with a picture, picture of George Bush in his idiotic pose, and I put his quote on there, "You're either with us or you're with the terrorists." And I remember that sparked a big outcry among average Americans saying, wait a minute, does this mean you can't disagree with the government? Boy, was that a sign of things to come. Back in 01, following 9/11, we had to give up our liberties to protect us from Muslim extremists who wanted to kill all of us. And then I noticed in 2008 a real shift, and I called attention to it on my show, in which in 2008 they came out with a MIAC report in which they said, we're now more concerned with domestic terrorism than we are with Muslim extremism, even though we were still prosecuting a war in two different countries at the time, supposedly to fight against Muslim extremism. And they went on to say, if you're a Ron Paul supporter, if you support the Constitution, if you refer to yourself as a constitutionalist, if you're pro-Second Amendment, if you're pro-First Amendment, any of these things, a veteran, by the way, just the aspect and the status of being a veteran, put you on this MIAC report list. And I said right then, this was the real purpose of the Patriot Act. It wasn't really to go after Muslims. It was to come after Americans after an indoctrination period. And boy, is this ever coming into fruition now.
You know, and you're right. And people, you know what, Dave, in preparation for our talk tonight, I was looking through some old archived reports from the Justice Department, and I don't know. You'll probably remember this: the back in 2014 April, the Justice Department considered arresting, not just charging, but arresting conservative activists. They came out with this under Holder. They came out with this. I should say this. Let me back up. People recall the unrecovered emails that indicated the IRS was working with the Justice Department targeting conservative groups. That was the one side of the coin where they were withholding and holding up, for example, the 501c3 designations and or the tax status designations of these groups. Well, the other side of that and people don't realize this, what Holder was doing was working with Lerner and others above Lerner to actually arrest conservative activists based on the fruits of these emails. And then you had, after that, the Holder announcing the task force on homegrown terrorists, which you covered, and folks, his website, Dave Hodges' website, thecommonsenseshow.com, where Holder announced the creation of a task force within the Justice Department to combat an escalating danger, according to him, from homegrown terrorists within the United States. And this is crazy. Now we've got this change. And I'm just almost, it's almost breathtaking, Dave, this change, this redefining, and this actual reworking of the, of the law. So we cannot even report on, well, as it would apply today. Let's just say we would, based on what we're saying here, let's just say we would, make public the Bundy situation and say, hey, we support Ammon Bundy and we urge everyone else to do it. We could be, in theory and perhaps in practicality, arrested, right? I mean, that's it.
Yeah, arrested. It totally eliminates all whistleblowing. And allow me to give you an example of what I'm talking about. Back in April of last year, I covered a story in which Hillary Clinton was implicated by the New York Times. Hello, New York Times, mainstream media, for procuring uranium from BLM land, putting it into a front company called Uranium One, which was a Canadian company but actually was owned by the Russian government, and selling uranium to the Russians. Now, first of all, that's an act of treason. We executed someone named Ethel Rosenberg and her husband, Julius, for doing the same thing, basically giving atomic secrets to the Soviets. Hillary is actually providing war material to be used against us.
Right.
Now, in her role of Secretary of State, she started down this road. Now, technically, under this Patriot Act and how they're now interpreting it, I'm guilty of being anti-government because at the time that Hillary Clinton was doing this, she was the Secretary of State, so therefore a government official, which cast me in the light of being anti-government. So the very fact that I revealed it, and technically the New York Times revealed it, we could be arrested under the NDAA, declared to be a domestic terrorist, therefore, i.e., an enemy combatant, and we could be disappeared with no due process. That's how serious this could get.
Who's paying attention to this? Is anyone paying? I mean, aside
Nobody.
From you, that's what I thought. I mean, I don't see anything being reported on the conservative websites across the board. There's nothing. So how? And I got an email earlier in anticipation of your appearance. Dave, is there any way that you and I and others, especially others, can fight this?
Not without being anti-government. Ergo, you go to prison. Let me read to you what Cliven Bundy is charged with from 2 years ago. And we're going to relate this to us.
Right.
Cliven Bundy is accused of conspiracy to commit an offense against the U.S. government. Okay, what was that offense? They don't even mention what it is. This is in the arrest warrant. And then they go on to say he's guilty of planning an assault on a federal official with a deadly weapon. Who would that federal official be? What was the plan? They don't have any of this. Simply because the man had a gun, they're saying he's going to kill a federal official. They didn't say he pointed the gun at anybody or threatened to use the gun against anybody. They simply said he was planning to do it. There's nothing. There's no evidence to support these allegations. Then it goes on to say, use and carry of a firearm in relation to a crime of violence. Where was the violent crime committed by the Bundys? I'm talking 2 years ago on their ranch.
On the ranch, right.
Where's the crime? Where's the violent crime they claim happened? It doesn't exist, Doug.
Exactly. There was none, right? I mean, no, there was none. But this goes back to the pre-crime. I mean, that's the best way to describe it, a pre-crime charge. Wow.
There's more.
No.
They also charged him with interference with commerce by extortion. Wait a minute. He was on his land defending his cattle, and they were trying to give away his land to a Chinese solar energy company that was really a front group for the Chinese military. And I covered that ad nauseum back in 2014 with BLM documentation and statements from Harry Reid. So the commerce that was being interfered with was the U.S. government going on Clive and Bundy's land. So they take the offense that they committed and they flip it and say, you did this. It's just, this is, I just look at this and I go, how crazy can we be? And yet, there's more, as they say in the infomercials. They also accuse him of obstruction of the administration of justice. So we don't let someone steal our land and give it away to the Chinese and throw us off our land like they did of 51 of Cliven's neighbors, then we're guilty of being a domestic terrorist. And then, of course, they threw in aiding and abetting, but they don't even specify who he's aiding and who he's abetting. He was aiding his family in defense of his way of life. This is what he's charged with. And this all carries, from what I understand, 96 years.
And not just for Bundy. I mean, this is 96 years in terms of the charges, not just the charges against Bundy, but charges would carry basically a life imprisonment.
Well, there's a... I want to give credit where credit's due.
Right.
There's a mainstream reporter for Fox News who gets it right. Not only has she got an engaging personality, and she's very attractive, and she's extremely well-spoken and highly intelligent, she's got a lot of courage. And I'm talking about Kate Daly, and she is a lead host on an afternoon show in St. George, Utah on Fox Radio, and I forget the call numbers right now, but if you just Google her, Kate Daly. Kate had me on her show several times to talk about Jade Helm. And I thought, wow, Fox News having Dave Hodges on talking about Jade Helm. Boy, we have made some progress. But she is covering the BLM issue. And I want everyone here just to take a few minutes here, just a couple minutes, and listen to what I'm going to tell you. The issue here that led to the ranchers going to Burns, Oregon, and 2 years ago, Clive and Bundy and friends standing up to a tyrannical federal government happens in the following. These forces of the BLM working for criminals like Hillary Clinton and Uranium One come on BLM land. They fence off major parts of the property, thus preventing normal commerce, taking money out of the pocket. Now, the federal government, under their statutes in the First Amendment or Fifth Amendment, case law says that if you cause someone's land to depreciate in value or loss of income, you have committed an act of eminent domain and you must buy them out at fair market value. That's case law. And Doug, I went through this myself. I know the case law on these land cases really, really well, as John McCain and his friends tried to steal my property 13 years ago. So when we look at what the real issue is, this, the federal government is illegally trespassing and intruding, and they're building mines, they're excavating raw materials that they should have no right to because that belongs to the people, and they're making a gift of a public asset to a private entity, namely Hillary Clinton and friends, and they're preventing lawful commerce on land occupied by ranchers, and those ranchers are owed damages. This is the issue. This is plain and simple the issue. And they're looking for any reason from the federal government's perspective to get ranchers off their land. Aaron Bundy and his, or excuse me, Cliven Bundy and his ranch, he had 52 rancher neighbors 5 years ago. Today, he has one. One. 51 of these ranchers have been forced out of business. And this is the whole issue. It's so bad with the BLM, and what they're doing is in 19 counties in Northern California and Southern Oregon, public officials, I don't mean citizens like Doug and Dave, I mean county commissioners and mayors of small towns, They have formed loosely what they call the State of Jefferson. And if you go to my website in the search engine at thecommonsenseshow.com and put in the State of Jefferson, you'll go to the articles that I've written about this. And you have people in 19 counties that want out of the state of California and the state of Oregon, respectively, because they can't make a living with what the federal government's doing to them. This is happening all through the West. But if you watch Wolf Blitzer and Fox News and all these corporate-owned media outlets, they don't tell you why the ranchers are pissed off. They don't mention anything about this. It's just armed thugs took over a federal building, and they make it seem they want to shoot federal officials, and this is how they portray the whole issue. Most of the American people have never heard the real issue. Now, I'm going to say this, and I mean this in a loving way. I've interviewed Ammon, and I have great respect for him, and we need more Americans like Ammon Bundy. I've interviewed Shauna Cox, who was in the car and witnessed the execution of Lavoie Finicum. And I'm going to say this in a very pejorative way, that they made a mistake in taking over a federal building, because that gave the government the license to act against them. Had they not done that and they went to private property, and I think really if they'd left their guns, you know, in storage or at home, and done the same thing, which was unerect the barriers the BLM was putting up on private land in Oregon, then maybe the real issue could have come out. But the real issue got obscured because the ranchers in Burns, Oregon, actually broke the law. They did. They trespassed on federal property, and they did so when they had guns, and that makes it felony trespass. And that's why we have the mess we have. But, Doug, the real story has not been told to the American people.
Okay. Go ahead. I guess my question is what I was going to ask you. Do you think that they were infiltrated and prompted to do that?
That's what I've been told, yes, okay. More than once. But you also have to have the ability to say no.
That's right.
I've had people try to infiltrate my organization, and I've had to put my foot down and say no and kick certain people to the curb. We are ultimately responsible for what we're in charge of. And, you know, one of the things, and I've served as a consultant for various protest movements around the country after we defeated McCain and hung onto our property. And the first thing I tell people is read these excerpts from Gandhi and Martin Luther King. They knew how to protest. And one of the things that you cannot do is engage in what could appear to be violent behavior. Now, I do not think these ranchers had any intention of being violent. In fact, actually quite the opposite. But when you show up and trespass on federal property and illegally occupy a building while you are armed, you give the federal government the license to couch this in the media any way they want.
All right. Let me ask this, because I know a lot of people are asking this question, and I think I know the answer to this, but in the bigger picture, people have asked, well, why is the federal government so obsessed with grabbing more land? Noting that the federal government, folks, they own more than 40% of the land in 9 different states inside the United States. I mean, Nevada, 84.5%, Alaska, 69.1%, California, 45.3%. The federal government does not need more land, but there's this obsession to grab more so that the dictates, I suppose, what, of Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 can be implemented? Is that what we're looking at? Is that the reason behind this, in addition to the mineral or the resources?
Yeah, you just nailed it right on the head, and I'm going to get real specific. I wished I had my documentation in front of me. I may have to rerun this tomorrow on the website. Private groups have investigated how much estimated wealth we have beneath the ground. Mm. And the estimate that stands out in my mind was $128 trillion.
Okay.
Not enough, not even close, coming to pay off the derivatives debt, but certainly enough to make our government solvent several times over. But that's not what's happening here. See, we are living under administration that is dedicated to the demise of the United States, and they're working towards this, and you've covered this ad nauseum on your show, but they're working for the destruction of the United States. And what we're witnessing here is the last great American garage sale. They're coming in and they're trying to steal everything they can get for whatever political purpose will benefit whoever is in charge. Hillary Clinton, case in point, but she's not alone. Native Americans have been having oil and gold and silver and other minerals taken off their property for about 15 years in big numbers, and the BLM won't even look at it. They won't even take up the cases, and these tribal councils have complained. In fact, I'll tell you one of the reasons they move on to Ammon Bundy when they did. When Ammon was in his interview with me, he told me, because I said, you know, you guys have a lot in common with Native American tribes. Federal government stealing from them, too. And he said, funny you'd say that, Dave, because I've had a lot of Native American tribes reach out to us. They want a partnership. That's why I think the federal government moved against them. Can you imagine if you'd have partnered the ranchers with Native American tribes? That becomes a lot harder to ignore in the media.
Yeah, obviously. Wow.
But by the virtue of the fact we're talking about this, and I want to go back to our core theme.
Sure.
By virtue of the fact that I'm talking about this in defense of these ranchers, yes, I've said what I think they did wrong, but also I'm telling you they were absolutely justified in their outrage and their right to engage in legal protest against the U.S. government, because they are having their property, their mineral rights, their commerce is being interfered with illegally by this government. And by the fact that you and I are covering this, Doug, we put ourselves in a great deal of jeopardy today.
Yeah. And that was not lost on me based on our exchange yesterday, last night, and the information I got separate from you. You know, and I ask everyone out there to really understand. And please, folks, I mean, Dave Hodges is at the tip of the spear. I mean, this Mr. Hodges went through this personally with his own land, and now is taking on the cause, the greater cause, and now we as well are joining the fray. But Dave, can they shut up all of us? Can they take all of us down? I guess they could, right?
I think they could take down the ones that matter the most. So I guess we'll find out how important the federal government thinks we are, depending on who disappears. That would be my answer. I think if you've got a Blog Talk radio show, and some shows on Blog Talk are very well listened to, some have 25 people a night if they're lucky, they're not going to worry about the low end of the spectrum. They don't want the low-hanging fruit. They want the people who have the numbers, like yourself.
Do you think that, and I'm going to throw this out there, let's say tomorrow if people tune into Global Star, and all of a sudden you're not on, and nor are we. What do you think? Do you think that people...
Honestly, I think some people would care greatly and would pursue this to the ends of the earth, but I think the bulk of the people would be an issue for them for 2 or 3 days until the next issue came along. And we'd be postscript.
Yeah, I was talking with a friend of mine inside the Beltway, and essentially he said the same thing. He said, if you're looking for friends, to quote a song, you're looking for them in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And it's not, I'd like to think it would be different, but I also am a realist, and I also understand people have you know, jobs to, I mean, who's, we saw what happened in Oregon, how many people came to their defense, or, you know, or in Nevada. I mean, Nevada was a little bit different, but still.
Not enough.
Not enough, right?
Not enough. What needs to happen is Congress needs to discover their intestinal fortitude, draw up articles of impeachment. Obama would no doubt move against Congress, maybe as extremely as he did against Justice Scalia, and then the military would have to come in and right the ship. And I pray for the day when Obama and his minions are marched out of the White House in handcuffs.
Yeah.
This is the only way to save this republic now. I mean, one of the reasons I'm nonviolent is because I know nonviolent protest works and it has lasting power. And we can ultimately affect more change. Secondly, the other side has technology and weaponry and numbers that we in the citizenry can't begin to match. And with surveillance technology reaching a high level, our ability to even emulate the Viet Cong from South Vietnam in that war is even called into question. the only chance, in my estimation, that we're going to see a recapturing, at least in part, of the Republic is with the assistance of the military. Now, the military did try to engage in a coup following Benghazi. They were going, actually during Benghazi, they were going to rescue, and I'm saying they, was General Hamm and Admiral Gayet, had concocted a plan against the orders of Leon Panetta, where Hamm would provide the Rangers and Gayet would provide the drone technology and some of the air cover. They were both unknown to them, their number two men, their execs, Colonel Rodriguez in one case for General Hamm, was CIA, and they both arrested these commanders. And the rescue mission to get Stevens to safety was thwarted. Now, the reason they wanted to save Stevens, they knew he was a gun runner, a kid runner. Yes, I mean child sex trafficking. He was cavorting with terrorists, working on behalf of the CIA. But by this time, he knew he was a marked man. In an election year, he had to die because some of these stories were beginning to leak out. And this administration didn't want this hangover going into the election and what they thought was going to be a tough election in 2012. And so they set him up to be killed. I mean, he, you know, we know that Stevens asked Hillary Clinton on three occasions to increase his security detail, and she said, we don't have the money. Yeah, an administration that's put us $19 trillion in debt, and we don't have the money to put a platoon of Marines around an ambassador. But let me explain to you why we don't see a coup today. In 2012, this was a coup of opportunity. And by opportunity, I mean the situation, the circumstances said that we can stop the bleeding in the military and the firing of all our senior command officers if we can rescue Stevens and get him to sing like a canary where he can't be ignored, and this would cause the downfall of the Obama administration. Had this succeeded, we would have a totally different leadership right now, and this would have made Watergate look like recess. But unfortunately, it failed. Well, I asked my military sources, I said, well, just find another issue and do it again. And they said, we can't. We have to have a coup of opportunity, and that's what Benghazi was, because the American people are so dumbed down, so ignorant, so apathetic, so engaged in bystander apathy, we can't count on their support, and no revolution, no military coup will ever succeed unless it's a coup of opportunity like Benghazi, unless you have the popular support of the people. And this is why I do what I do. I've turned from trying to win back the system by popular opinion, and that's where I started out when I got into this, to now I'm trying to convince as many people that we can't win, we can't turn back the government using legitimate means, because our entire government and our entire electoral process is illegitimate. And our only hope is that Congress will find some backbone and provide the military with the impetus to act. That's the only hope we have. Otherwise, Obama's taking us down. And I'll just give you one example, Doug. Let's just take Alaska. Yep. We used to have F-22 flights going up and down the coastline to watch for the Russians. We did away with those. We could have replaced them with the 16s or the 35s, but we didn't. He has cut the submarine patrols by 90%. He's closed so many military bases in Alaska that the Alaskan government formed a commission to beg the BRAC Commission to close his bases to stop. They were wrecking the economy of Alaska. He has compromised so many of the defenses of Alaska. The Russians, and many Russians are already there. There's Russian troop sightings in Ketchikan and Juneau and Fairbanks. They're all over Russia. They're all over Alaska. But they could just march right across the ice bridge. They could come in from the north, from the North Pole, where they have mining operations being done by the military, and conquer Alaska in about a half an hour. And then that would open up for the northern invasion in the scissor strategy, because then we'd see Red Dawn coming from the south with 32 Latin American nations that have aligned with Putin. They didn't even invite us to the last meeting of the OAS. They left us and Canada out. Why? Because I think they think they're going to invade us. This is what a traitor Obama is. And we don't have long to effect a change here. And I don't see another way other than a congressional move to impeach. Obama moves against Congress, and the military moves on Obama. And we'll have a civil war. Believe me, the foreign troops that are here will fight with DHS, and they will fight our military. It's a hell of an ugly picture.
Yeah, to say the least. Well, let me go back to something that you, let me go back to the original aspect of this. One thing I'm curious about, Dave, if one day they would take us, they would take you out, if they would take us out, J.B. Wells out, in terms of under this new redefining illegal, you know, terrorist characterization. I don't know how many, but let's just say more than one and less than 10 alternative media sources. I guess I'm looking for some ray of hope here. At what point would the American public say, wow, this, you know, there's more than something wrong, and we, you know, we have to go and help them and fight for them. Is that even a possibility, Dave? I mean,
no.
Yeah.
I used to think it was.
Come on, man.
I don't any longer, because Americans would be in a, they'd have to be in a, let me put it this way, for an average American to act right now against the government, they would not have food on the table. They couldn't put shoes on their kids' feet. There'd be absolutely no hope for tomorrow. And the average American is living a certainly substantially diminished lifestyle economically than we were 20, 30 years ago, but it hasn't reached that point. Americans aren't hurting enough to act. And we don't act on ideals any longer. Hell, we don't even have any ideals. Most Americans don't even know the Constitution. So my answer is no for that reason. And by the time that we would see the economy be in such a crisis that people couldn't meet their basic needs, the martial law forces will be in place. The FEMA camps will be open for business. I don't see any other way other than there is a move in Congress right now. I sense a tone change where they see, yeah, we've been getting fat and happy. We get to do insider training. There's all kinds of corruption in Congress, and it's been good. But hold on here. This ain't America. And I got to go back and live in this mess, and my kids have to inherit this mess. I'm getting that sense from some congressmen when you see them talking. I'm waiting for them to act collectively. And then I would wait for the military to try to join in and reinforce the edicts of Congress. I don't see any other way, Doug. I mean, this isn't a plan that I sat around and concocted. I've been looking. I don't like military coups. They usually end very badly for the people. You usually end up with a worse dictator than the one you just overthrew. But in this case, I see no way to unseat Obama and his minions. Even if Obama were to die of natural causes tomorrow, there'll be no shortage of people they can stick in there and carry out the same agenda.
This is truly, as I titled the show, The Taking of America 1-2-3, a reference to the Taking of Pelham. I mean, we're being held, the people are being held hostage, and we, and I dare say that we're on the front lines of this, and meaning the people in the alternative media. I've been told, as you have, Dave, that you know, our days are numbered. Look what Drudge wrote. When I say our days are numbered, meaning at least in our current iteration, we might have to get really. I don't know.
You know, I look back on key events and saying, when did things really change? Well, I think the false flag event of 9/11 certainly was the catalyst that set a lot of this into motion. But it's what I mentioned earlier in the broadcast in 2008, the MIAC report. That was a declaration of war against average Americans. And we were unsuccessful in the independent media of communicating that to the American people in sufficient numbers as to arouse their anger.
You know, one thing, Dave, and I want to mention this. I don't know how many people really know this, but you know, it's just not like, for example, the Bundys of the world who are being dealt with like this, like you mentioned. There's a guy by the name of, I don't know how many people know this, a guy by the name of Don Miller. He's 91 years old. He's an antiques collector. He recently had his Indiana home raided by the FBI, ostensibly because it might be in the nation's best interest, and I'm not making this up, if the rare and valuable antiques and artifacts that Miller had collected over his 80 years of business were cared for by the government. Now, can you believe that? Here's a 91-year-old guy gets as a SWAT team bust in why? Because, well, he's an antiques dealer. He's got some stuff that might be better in the hands of government. And such tactics carried out by anyone other than the government would be considered larceny. I mean, if I did that to my neighbor, I think it would be better in my hands. Of course, you know, the government gets a free pass in this. So it's just not, it's a tyrannical takeover everywhere. And people might hear that. And, Dave, I'm so sick of people saying, oh, this is not going to happen. Or this. Well, it's flipping happening, man. It's happening right now. I don't know. Boy.
I know. Steve Quayle made one of the most profound statements when he was on my show last time. He said, the things that we were writing about that's coming are no longer coming. They are here. And that's where we're at right now. This is very, very serious.
Indeed it is. Well, look, brother, I don't want to keep you. Here we are, we got about 10 minutes left of the show, and I know that you're tremendously busy. What do we need to do? Is there anything that we need to do? Dave, I got no intention of stopping. I don't know about you.
No, I don't either. I tell you, though, part of me, my survival instinct tells me to go to a remote location and live the life of a quiet monk, never to be seen of or heard of again. And even then, I don't know if you'd be safe.
Scalia. Right?
So what do we do? Well, there is a piece of social psychology research out there. It's been pretty well validated. And it's from a group called SNARC. And they study social trends, and they said, when does a fad become a trend and a trend become a wildfire obsession? And they said, when you, of any population, achieve a 10% penetration into the market.
Right.
And I know we have more than 10% of the population listening to the alternative media, on an intermittent and consistent basis, but we don't have committed followers. And people will get their adrenaline high by listening to the dangers. Then they go back to their life, trying to somehow figure out how they're going to defeat the system and stay ahead of the debt collectors. If people don't begin to recognize that Americans are the next endangered species, particularly American Christians, and it's even turning racial, where we're talking white American Christians,
right,
with the rhetoric that's coming out of Washington, we are going to end up, our heads are going to be on trophy cases all over the country. Now, I'm speaking metaphorically, but I can't get people to seem to understand. Oh, you're a fearmonger, Dave. I've seen this carried out before. In Nazi Germany, if you were a Jew, you went to the camp, and if you helped a Jew, you were providing material support. Does this sound familiar to what we've been talking about?
Gee whiz, I think so, yeah.
And so as a consequence, Doug, people have to decide it's time to act. And you don't have to have a radio show or write a column or do anything like that. But you need to educate your neighbors. You need to store food and water, guns and gold. And you need to get off the grid as much as possible, get your money out of the bank as much as possible. You need to be prepared to live independently. And why do I say that? Because if you don't have food for your kids, you'll be the first SOBs that show up at the FEMA camp. We need people to become independent, spread the word, form alliances, and then we need to stop participating in their system as much as possible. If we started doing that, again, I think the military would decide to act. I talked to former high-ranking military, and Doug, if I could tell you one guy that I talked to privately, he was so high up it would shock you that he would even take the time to talk to me. And I'm telling you, to a person, the sources are telling me the same thing. The military wants to act in behalf of the people. They know how the veterans are being treated when they come back. They're being neutralized by this government so they can't defend the people when all hell breaks loose.
Yep.
But we haven't shown the military anything as a population. We haven't shown them, we'll stand with you, we'll support you. It's crazy. That's really what I have to say is, we have met the enemy, and he is us. Our own apathy and our own ignorance is leading to our demise. And I don't know how we can turn this around. Now, tomorrow I'll write another story in a way that will try to reach a segment of the population where they'll say, gee, this does affect me, and I need to jump into this and get involved. And, of course, then I'll get the 5-10 emails a day that say, you're a fearmonger, Hodges, and you're so full of crap. You know, that's on and on it goes.
Yeah, it's this cycle, and I think people, a lot of that stems from fear. You know, if people are afraid, but some of that is just plain ignorance, and the rest is
If I could wave a magic wand, I wish 100 million Americans would write Congress tomorrow and just say something really simple. Do you know that you're the brown shirts of America? You're giving tacit approval to the overthrow of our way of life, our traditions, our culture, everything. You're putting lives in jeopardy. Your kids have to live in this. And, oh, by the way, what did Hitler do to his brown shirts? You think you're going to have a seat at the table when this is all over? Think again. If they could receive letters by the millions like this in Congress, I don't know what kind of effect it would have. But I would hope it would have the effect of self-preservation, that some people in Congress actually know their history, and they would say, you know what, we better act because we're not going to get another chance.
It's funny you should say that, because I happened to, I was turning the channels over the weekend, and I stumbled across the 1984 version of the of Red Dawn, and it was at the scene where I guess a local politician was cozying up to the invaders, and you know, it's just to see that today, 31 or 32 years after it was introduced, it just made me ill. You know, I mean, I was nauseous when I saw that, and thinking how this could play out. And
the movie was ahead of its time.
Very much.
There's some new series coming out. And I was channel surfing, too, to see what the enemy was up to. And there's a new series coming out on one of the Fox channels. I don't think it's Network Fox, but it's one of the Fox sub-channels. And it's called America, not with a K, but with a reversed R.
Yeah.
And basically, America's being given away. How prophetic. And the series starts sometime in mid-March.
Yeah. Yep.
It's called Predictive Programming. They're telling us what's coming.
That's it.
Let's go back to the Pelican Brief. You got people that want to make more money and someone's in the way? Well, you just kill two Supreme Court justices by blowing up their cars. Denzel Washington, Julia Roberts, 1993. You got a justice who's in the way of Obama's climate change, which is the main reason he was installed as the president? Well, you just kill him. You somehow get rid of his two federal marshals that were supposed to be with him. Let's stick a pillowcase over his head and make it a message killing. And, oh, by the way, we won't tell the public, but I've been able to find this out, Doug, that Scalia was actually meeting with members of the military, high-ranking members.
Oh, really?
You know what I think he was telling them? I'll put a Hodges guess into this. The Hodges hypothesis is this, is that the fact that we have shot down Obama's climate change plans, and they are dead for the foreseeable future until after he leaves office, the military might be ready to act because Obama might go into a martial law mode and force it upon us. That's what I think he was telling the military. I think this is why he was killed. And yet the country sails along merrily with a Supreme Court justice, a senior government official that received no autopsy, who died under very mysterious circumstances, and we just accept it.
Hmm. Well, Dave, I don't know if I shared this with you or not, but my source told me to expect one more vacancy of the Supreme Court. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean a death, but this person wants to basically make sure that the Supreme Court is stacked under Obama before he leaves, if he leaves, with a long-living Marxist or Islamist in that position, in addition to the Scalia vacancy.
We already have the Muslim Brotherhood, guys like Patel, who have a long history with involvement with terrorism, who've infiltrated DHS in the White House. Just put in the Muslim Brotherhood and Obama into my search engine on the Common Sense Show. I've written lots of articles about this, Doug. And it's all there for people to see.
Yeah,
I don't possess any skills beyond what anyone else can do as a researcher. It's just, I do it. Most people don't want to know.
And it's amazing what you can find when you get off your butt and not just sit in front of a computer, but actually go out and investigate, including but not limited to, archives, other areas as well. And I just want to commend you, my friend. Number one, thank you for coming on tonight and really drilling down on the article that you published today. Folks, thecommonsenseshow.com. Look at the article dated today, the one about the redefining us as belligerents, basically, as, you know, here we go. But I also want to commend you on all of the work you've done. Your
Thank
website
you.
Is just a tremendous resource. And Dave, your radio show, you know, it's required listening to me. I mean, for me, every day.
Well, I have some great guests, but let me just share this thought with you. I just thought of this.
Yeah.
This is a good closing point. You remember the Kirk Douglas movie, Spartacus?
Yeah.
And the Romans, when they had finally subdued this slave army, they hung them on the crosses along the roads all the way up to Rome. And they wanted to know who the real Spartacus was. Yeah. And here's a litmus test for the American people. You know, Hagman, Hodges, Quayle, et al., J.B. Wells, all of us have our rear ends hanging out there right now. It would be kind of interesting, and I may write an article about this, I am Spartacus. Everybody needs to publish something somewhere.
Yeah.
Critical of the government in some fashion. We all need to violate the Patriot Act the way it's being interpreted. And that way we can all be Spartacus and we can all stand together. Because as Ben Franklin said before the revolution, we surely will hang together or we'll hang separately.
That's a great idea. I mean, let's do it, you know. But hey, like, my, you know, my butt's a bigger target than many. But no, let's just hang our butts out there. Let's just do it. What are they going to do? They're going to arrest everyone? That's kind of my philosophy. I don't think so.
Yeah, what are they going to do? Build a fence around the country and call it prison?
There you go. Well, it's
they'll make an example of a few of us, but they don't have the resources right now to take everyone down. Everybody needs to publish something this week critical of the government. Send it to a website, put it as a post on a website, sign your name to it, and basically say, to heck with you, federal government.
Amen. Yeah, and
I am Spartacus.
I am Spartacus. And you know, by the way, here's my name, too. It would be helpful if you have your name. Or at least, well, I mean, why not? Because we are all in this together. Dave, I got to thank you, buddy. I mean, I know that you came on at the last minute, but I just thought it was so important after our dialogue last night that man, this is like really critical, and I just want to I can't.
Well,
I
appreciate the invitation, and I'd be happy to come on anytime, Doug.
God bless you, my friend. You take care of yourself.
Okay.
And we're gonna be watching and praying
for
you. All right. Folks, pray for Dave Hodges. Please pray for Dave Hodges, his safety. Pray for our safety as well. And, you know, support. Support Dave Hodges. Support us. Support the, or if you like J.B. Wells, join Caravan of Midnight. Or insert a favorite program here. Just support whoever. But pray. Okay? And saddle for battle. Because it's going to get bumpy out there. It's already bumpy, but it's going to get a lot bumpy. So we need to saddle for battle. We need to understand that we are not alone in this. We are fighting from a position of victory. We already know how this ends, right? We do. We do have the moral high ground. We have all of that. And we have, well, we better know if God is on our side. We say we're on God's side, but is God on our side? And that's one thing that we better have understood. But you know what? It wouldn't help to say prayers of protection and intercessions over Steve Quayle and others who have their necks, some a lot further than others, on the line. And that's it, really. On behalf of Joe and Eric the Tech and JD of Neptune Diaries, Rhonda and Joe Charles and everyone here, stay safe. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much for being a part of our lives. Good night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.